You ready to go for a walk, Ray? You ready to go? Let's go for a walk. All right. Fun stuff. All right, pick all this. All the accoutrement for the walk. Turn this light off here, Ray. All right. Well, hey there. This is Jim, and of course, the lovely Miss Reagan. And I was just thinking. So Ray and I are out here doing something we have not been able to do since last Friday. Today is the following Wednesday. So, this is the same day that my friend Carlos puts out a Wednesday show. So we're putting out a Wednesday show as well. Anyway, we're going outside for a walk because it is finally stopped raining. I won't bore you with the Forrest Gump analogy, but the Forrest Gump analogy is apropos. One day it started raining, and then it didn't quit for a while. For us, it was 5 days. And this was from Tropical Storm Ophelia. We've literally been drenched in rain from a storm named Ophelia. If you're Shakespeare fans, well, you remember Ophelia was the sad character that went insane after the death of her father Polonius in Hamlet and drowned. Ironic. We have been, air quotes, drowned in water by a storm named Ophelia. So we say life is interesting so long as you're paying attention. And it helps to read a little bit. Obviously, it would mean a lot less if you didn't get the Shakespeare reference. So, anyway. Oh my gosh. It is nice to be out here and getting these stupid little rocks in my sandals. Never thought I would record that, but let me tell you, so happy to be out and going for a walk. It has been an interesting couple of weeks, folks. I think we're going on week 3 now since the Bird in Hand half marathon. Of course, you know, Bird in Hand was hot this year. How hot was it? Well, it was so hot that people who came up from Florida were commenting on the heat. That's how hot it was. And now here we are 3 weeks later. I'm in long pants, a long shirt, and a jacket. Because otherwise, I'd be chilly. Because it's in the 50s right now. But if you don't like this weather, wait till next week. We're apparently forecast to quite likely hit 80 again next week. So, oof. But there you go. But of course, we had Bird in Hand. The day after Bird in Hand, I got sick. And this is the longest I've been able to talk and move. In the past 4 days, without letting out some sort of a bark. So, still have a few leftovers from that cold I got, which was not COVID, according to my COVID test, but was a bugger either way. All right, hang on. Hang on, Ray. One of our local neighbors is heading off to work, or maybe heading off to drop off his kids this time of morning. So we'll be the nice thing and wave. Yep, dropping off the kiddos. So, something I was not used to growing up. Maybe that's something you were not used to growing up as well. Hopping in the car and having your parents drive you to a bus stop and then sitting with you until the bus showed up. I definitely have mixed feelings on that. On the one hand, you know, there is the old fogey thing in me going, I kid me, I used to walk to the bus stop uphill both ways in the snow in July when I was a kid. Bop, 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 right? All that nonsense, right? And then you look back and you look at the younger generation, you go, you guys have it so easy, right? And every generation does this because hopefully every successive generation does have it easier than the one before. That's kind of the point, right? I mean, you know, if your generation is doing what it's supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be giving a better world to the next generation, not a worse one. So, you know, that is actually where the how it should work out. But on the other hand, though, my generation, Gen X, also known as the latchkey generation, we were kind of one of the first ones that, you know, both parents worked, and they both worked outside the house, and so, you got a key, because when you came home, it wasn't going to be anybody there. Now, my mom didn't work, but somewhere around, I'd say 13 years old, 12, maybe, is when I got my key, because there were times when she was like, you know, you're going to get dropped off at, like, I forget what it was, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She says, I am not going to be here when you get home, so make sure you have your key. Or you're going to be sitting outside until I get home. Which I seem to think has happened, or had happened at some point, because, you know, I didn't remember my key, and so I was stuck outside waiting for her to come home. But yeah, so, you know, so you're home and you just let yourself in the house and, you know, you watch TV and you grabbed a bag of some sort of snack food that you wouldn't be able to just completely eat out of the bag while your parents were home watching you, and you just chowed down and watched cartoons or whatever it was you did, right? So, but I do think it's nice that, you know, you do have that time with your parents before school. We're getting ready for school together. You know, school is a family thing, not just a thing that you do because you're young and you still have to do it. Which, not to put a negative spin on it, but that was more my experience. It was, you know, it was like going to a job, you know. My dad went to a job, and my sister and I went to a job, except our job was school, you know. The only person who got to stay home was my mom. So, my mom's job was the home, so, well, there it was. So I do think there's some neat things about that. You know, I don't see it so much once the kids get to be about like 14. 13, 14, then, yeah, you know what? You're walking down the hill. And you're going to wait for the bus by yourself, because I'm not dropping you off. So, more my experience then, but anyway. So, going back to where we were, so we had bird in hand, then we had illness, and then basically started to get over illness after about 10 days. And then, of course, we had 5 days of rain, which brings us to here. So we're supposed to be dry today and dry tomorrow. More rain coming on Friday into Saturday morning, but then the waterworks shut off for a little bit. And we're going to be sunny and dry for a while, so get Reagan out for an actual walk today and tomorrow. And we'll wait for this car or truck, whatever it is, to pass us. Some sort of cube van of some sort. So, anyway. So we get to walk today and tomorrow. And, very important, I get to let our goats outside into the back pasture for the day. Because they're going nuts. Because, again, and unfortunately, you know, even if you open up the doors, you can't really explain to a goat, hey, sorry, you got to stay in your stall today because it's raining. And I can't let you out. They just kind of, you know, cock their head and give you the dog look. I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? But, you know, we all know this after the year that was COVID. You know, there's only so long you can stay cooped up in your house. You know, unless there's something, you know, mentally amiss with you. There's only so much you can stay cooped up in your house before you're just like, I have to get outside. I cannot stay in this house any longer. This is driving me nuts. And, you know, the animals are the same way. They're like, I got to get out. So be able to get them out today. And that'll be great. Definitely help with their mental health, because they're going to get stuck again on Friday. So, but, of course, in the middle of all that, as you know, here comes the coughs. We had two of our nannies give birth, so things are going well now with that. The one nanny was fine. She's got her two girls, and they have been doing fine the whole time. The other one has two boys. More on that in a minute. And the one boy, Bean, is very small. So he had some challenges initially, but I think we are, fingers crossed, over the hump. He is now gaining weight. He is drinking. He's figured all that out. He's got his energy. You know, when they're out of their stall, he's doing the cute little goat hop up and down the aisle way. So, his temperatures are good, so everything is going well. But it's, in a lot of ways, it's very much like when you have a newborn. You're like, you're forever checking on him, right? Because it doesn't take much for them to turn a corner and start going downhill. So, and particularly if you're a new parent, you tend to be a bit more freaked out about that stuff. And then, of course, once you start getting to second, third, and certainly beyond that, it becomes, yeah, you're fine. Go play in the street, right? You tend to be less concerned because you have a better handle on what's supposed to happen. It's more the fear of the unknown when you don't know. Is what usually freaks people out. So, we're now to the to the farmhouse. Let's give you a little heads up on what's happening at the farmhouse, because we haven't been able to come out here in a while. So lots of landscaping. So I think I mentioned this before. So the old, I guess I'll call it a stockade fence, post and rail, I think, something like that. It has a name, but that fence that has been here for 20 years, gone. A whole part of this slope has been where all the overgrown weeds and stuff are. That's all been yanked out, gone over with some big heavy machinery. Couple of trees pulled out, just one tree now. In fact, they had some nice forsythia up here that just needed to trim, but apparently they didn't want their forsythia either. We yanked ours immediately as well, because my wife is not a huge fan of it. And so that's gone. And then on the opposite side of the barn from where we are right now, be the north side. We're on the south side of the house now. Walking back to our house, which would be north of where we are. It's a huge barn, a 20-stall barn. Those of you not familiar, so a stall roughly, I mean, they could vary in size, but pretty rough is about 12 by 12. So now something that has 10 of them on each side. So, you know, you got 12 feet, and then you got 10 stalls aside, so 120 feet at least on one side. And of course, another 120 feet of stalls on the other side of the aisleway. So, hang on here, pup. There you go. I'm noticing they weren't trying to do any repairs to that. A lot of it was cinder block. It's gone. It's gone. It's in a pile. And then all this area that was the larger barn and the and the north side lawn, that's all been gone over with heavy machinery again. And so that's all cleared. So we're trying to figure out if he's going to try and parcel off part of this property. And all this work in fixing this house, which I've done a beautiful job on, is going to be because they're going to be able to convince the township that if they can pull off about, say, an acre to 2 acres of property to attach to this house, that they can subdivide it, pay whatever they need to do that, and then sell the house. And I would say for 2 acres out here, in a house that basically is a brand new house now, for all the work they've done, and a gorgeous brand new house, my neighborhood, he should easily be able to command $400,000 for that. I realize if you live places, you may be going, are you kidding me? Especially if you live out west, you may be going, wow, that seems kind of low. But we're not out west. We're in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. So, you know, there it is. It may go for more. I may be underselling it. They may be trying to ask a half mil for it. It is a nice house. It's probably a 4-bedroom house in there. So, who knows? You know, but yeah, if he can recoup that, if he can get a half a million, I mean, that's only $1.5 million that he has still left on the $2 million he paid for the property in the first place. So, but as is, the house itself previously was not worth a whole bunch. He probably would not have gotten much over $125,000 for the house. It was in bad shape. It was really in bad shape. So, the Amish he had working on it did a fair amount of work. So, if you're not familiar with Amish craftsmanship, it is pretty darn good. So, I have a hard time finding anything better. So, let Reagan finish what she's doing here. Looking off to the north, and I'm seeing something that I have not seen since Friday, and that's the sky. Amazing. Let me know when you're ready, Ray. So, there it is. So, I'm going to get some people outside. We're finishing up a walk. And what else? Without getting into too much details, because I don't like talking about my work on these shows, but I no issue saying that I have a huge project that is finally going to go live next Thursday. It's not this Thursday, but next Thursday. So October the 5th. So very happy we are finally coming to that date because, well, I mean, we've been doing training. My partner in crime at work and I for the last 11 weeks. So it has been busy and it has been basically all our time throughout the day has been meetings, teaching, and items that need to get a check mark put next to them so we can be ready for our go live. So next week I get to spend 2 days in Baltimore, something called Command Center. So basically it's a phone bank so that when people have issues, they can call in and say, hey, I don't know how to do whatever, right? Or this is supposed to work, but it doesn't. And then we can go and triage all those issues and get all that stuff taken care of. So that's next week for 2 days. And then the week after that, we have 2 more days at the command center, at least on the schedule. But they may be canceled depending upon how the first 2 days go. In fact, there's a possibility I may only have to do 1 day in person. Then I can do the second day remotely, depending upon how light the first day is. So, this particular project is coming out in stages. We refer to them as a sprint. And our first sprint is rather small. Our second sprint is more of a marathon than a sprint, to use the running analogies. It is pretty much the whole shebang. It's pretty much the everybody in the pool part of the project. Then we have a small third sprint next July, which is basically the tie a bow on some things, and then we're into maintenance mode at that point. So next week for sprint one, April the 22nd for sprint two, and July something for sprint three. I don't remember the July date, but July seems a million years away from right now. So we'll worry about July when we get closer to April. So that's definitely been keeping me busy, definitely been keeping me off the streets, that's for sure. Speaking of off the streets, with the exception of an occasional walk, that's all I've been doing. I'm hopeful that maybe I can get out for something that I can call a run tomorrow. We'll see. But yes, I have not run since Birdenhead. So I'm definitely going on 3 weeks sans running. Initially because of illness, and then because of rain, and then also because just crazy busy. So it'd be nice to get back to something that looks like more of a normal schedule again. So, and of course, once again, I'm fighting another ear infection. So, not surprised with the drastic change in the weather. That usually is the tipping point for me. So pretty much a done deal at this point that yours truly is going to end up getting the tympanoplasty and getting his eardrum repaired. Because this frequent ear infection stuff is just, it's for the birds. Not looking forward to it. This is major surgery. had it done when I was 17, and here I am 50 years later. Basically needing to have it done again. So, it'll be what it'll be. If it can hold off until next year, that would be better. I don't think I'm going to be able to, but we'll see. I am all signed up, though, for Savannah. So I have my hotel for 3 nights. I have my plane ticket down and back. I have my registration. And so right now the plan is first to cough once again, and to hop on a plane very early on Friday morning, December the 2nd, I think. First, one of those. First Friday in December. At 6 a.m. in Baltimore. Fly down to Atlanta and take a plane from Atlanta about 2 hours later to Savannah Hilton Head, and then likely grab an Uber into town, and then depending upon how much luggage I bring, likely drop off my luggage at the front desk and say I will be back at 4 o'clock to check in, but don't really want me walking around town all day with my luggage, so I wouldn't mind. And I know they won't. and then just have lunch early afternoon in Savannah. Probably go to the gymnasium or whatever the name of the place is where the packet pickup is, and go do packet pickup. Then it's back to the hotel, check in, get all my stuff ready, go get some dinner, get a good night's sleep, and then in the morning I'm already downtown, so that works out nice. So I literally just have to get up, walk down to the bus station, and at 6 o'clock, I hop by 6:15, I think, I hop on a shuttle bus that will take me to the start. I'm at the start where I can stretch out, relax a bit, and then it's race time. And then from there, over the Savannah River Bridge, also known as the Tallmadge Bridge, back into town and run around the 5K finish area. And then back over the Tallmadge Bridge, back to where I started. And then run around where I started in the morning. Yeah, dog alley, folks. Turn around, come back over the Tallmadge Bridge one more time, and then when I finish, I have finished a 15K. So, and yes, first 15K I have done since 2012. So a good number of years since my last one. So, and then of course I have the rest of, that'll be Saturday. I have the rest of Saturday to relax in town. I have Sunday to relax in town. And then Monday morning, I'm on a plane. Well, I get my Uber again back to the airport. And then I grab a plane back to Atlanta. Atlanta back to Baltimore. My car home. So, that's the trip. So there it is. That's all I got. Well, before I cough some more, I think we'll end this. This has been long enough, 30 minutes, for crying out loud. But thanks for coming with me and Reagan on our walk, our lovely, lovely walk here in the morning. Hope you've enjoyed this. And until I have more to say, be well.